to thank Vice Chair Sosa for his capable job of driving in my absence. And with that, we'll go to item 51, John Lindsay.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Diane Gould. Item 51 in your book, page 135, is the stipulated final order. John Lindsay is a Linn County Commissioner. On January 25th of this year, the Ethics Commission made a preliminary finding that Commissioner Lindsay violated the conflict of interest provisions on two occasions when he sent emails to the County Planning and Building Director advising him to open a complaint file on a neighboring property without first disclosing a conflict of interest. Mr. Lindsay, representing himself as a county commissioner, has personally visited the neighbor's property to voice his concerns about what he believed was an illegal marijuana grow. Mr. Lindsay then filed a private cause of action against the property owner for the marijuana grow, citing financial devaluation of his own property as the basis for his legal standing. Mr. Lindsay wishes to settle this matter rather than go to contested case hearings. The settlement's been signed by Mr. Lindsay and is in your meeting book for approval. It calls for a letter of education and a $50 civil penalty.
Okay. Executive Director.
So before any commissioners ask me the question why $50 is in there, the $50 was suggested by his own counsel. So to help educate Mr. Lindsay on his responsibilities. So you don't normally see just a small fine with a letter of education, but that was suggested, like I say, by his own counsel.
Okay. Any questions of staff? Okay. Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll move approval of the stipulated final order as outlined by staff regarding item 51 on our regular agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, very good. We go to item 52, the case of Mr. S. Bruce Connor.
Chair Burke, Commissioners. Item 52 is a stipulated final order for the case involving Bruce Connor, the cruise industry marketing director with the Port of Astoria. As you will recall, this case involves allegations Mr. Connor used his position at the port to benefit his private shore excursion business and that he failed to disclose conflicts of interest. At its meeting in August, the commission made preliminary findings of violation by Mr. Connor, specifically 7 violations of the prohibited use of office and conflict of interest disclosure statutes. Following the commission's action, we sent Mr. Connor the requisite notices along with a proposed stipulated final order. Mr. Connor indicated he did not wish to seek a contested case hearing, and he accepted and signed the stipulated order that is in your meeting book. This order provides that Mr. Connor will pay a civil penalty of $3,500. This civil penalty is within the settlement guidelines set forth in the penalty matrix. I have the matrix available if you have questions. And we are recommending the commission approve this order.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
We accept the stipulated final order regarding item number 52.
Okay, moved by Vice Chair Sosa. We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, item 53, Lisa King, member, Board of Directors, Harney County School District.
Thank you. Chair Burke, Commissioner Diane Gould on items 53 through 57, which involve the same circumstances. So these are all stipulated final orders. On May 31st of this year, the Ethics Commission considered preliminary review reports concerning violations of the executive session provision prohibiting final decisions to be made in executive session by the 5 Burns School District board members. The commission voted to move the matters to investigation. The attorney representing the board members, Rebecca Jacobson asked to negotiate a settlement rather than complete investigations in these cases. The board members had conducted executive sessions to discuss a complaint filed against their superintendent, and they'd made final decisions during two executive sessions, neither of which were ever communicated to the public. The settlements have been signed by each board member and are in your meeting book for approval. They call for a letter of education.
Okay, very good. Are there any questions of staff? All right, very well. Entertain a motion.
Move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 53.
Moved by Vice Chair Sosa. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. 54, it's the same set of circumstances. So unless there's something new, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 54.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, item 55, we'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 55.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Item 56, we'll entertain a motion.
Move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 56.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Item 57, we'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 57.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Sorry.
Take your time.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, thank you. Item 58, the case of Michael McCullen.
Chair Burke, Commissioners. Item 58 is a stipulated final order for Michael McCullen, Keene, I don't know, one of the board members of the Basin Ambulance Service District. This matter involved an executive session where the board members dismissed three district volunteers without providing sufficient notice. In July, when this matter moved to investigation, the board members indicated an interest in negotiating a settlement. At your last meeting, the commission approved stipulated orders for three of the board members. The stipulation in your meeting books is identical to the ones previously approved, provides for Mr. McCullen to receive a letter of education. Therefore, recommending approval of this order.
Okay, questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
Move that we accept stipulated final order regarding item 58.
Very good. So moved. We'll go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, very well. No default final orders, no reports of investigations, no advisory opinions. We do have correspondence and responses to that correspondence. Is there anything staff would like to tell us about that?
So, one thing I'd like to say is like, contrary to what was said earlier today, that there's a major union out there that doesn't know that we exist, I just want to point out the last few meetings, you can see the number of requests that we're getting for advice in here. And they're not simple letters of the, what I always term the big font no or the big font yes. You know, it's detailed work that's done here. So we will continue to make sure that public bodies know of us and our services out there, but we are being used right now, as we should be. So I just kind of wanted to point out that you'll look at this correspondence that's gone out from everyone from the staff opinion to the Secretary of State on down, that we are being asked lots of questions each 6 weeks before you guys meet, and So I think there are a lot of people that do know us and are doing that. So our programs out there are actually at the end of trains and stuff saying, if you have questions, call us, you know, write us, is starting to pay off. So.
Very well. I think Commissioner Mason and Commissioner Fiskin.
I'm not sure you want to go first.
Go ahead. No.
Are you ever concerned that staff opinion could be used as a political hit piece, like it was, I think, in the Statesman Journal? Or at least, because I've never seen a staff opinion talked about the way it was in that Statesman Journal article.
Can you give some background?
About the Fresno matter?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I haven't heard
about it. Yeah, you can read the article online. I mean, you're giving an opinion on this, and yet it's used as if, I don't know, I guess that's just my concern with that. But you know what, did you read the article? I guess I should
I actually haven't seen the article.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
But again, to amplify on that, I can't remember the words I was going to mention, but in fact, the item involving Secretary of State Clarno made the news coinciding with our appropriate release of information relative to this meeting.
Right.
Now, my own view of the article about Secretary Clarno that appeared in the Statesman Journal, perhaps in OregonLive.com as well, was that I would be hard-pressed to characterize it as a hit piece. I thought it was fairly factual. The other thing I was going to say, Commissioner Mason and others, is that I want to applaud our staff for the response to Secretary of State Clarno, but I want to also applaud her for asking the question. Because most of us who knew this would come up when she was appointed, if only because her son, Randy Hildebrand, was her chief of staff when Ms. Clarno was Speaker of the Oregon House. The fact that the Secretary of State's office would ask this question is, I think, to the Secretary of State's office a credit, if only because if you're a legislator, you can hire your relatives all the time, and legislators do. No offense meant by that. She's an executive branch official, effectively based on this letter, and I knew it was coming. You can't. The fact that the question was asked is good. The fact that the answer was given is good. The fact that the media picked up on it is part of what the media does when we release our public agenda.
I just have never seen that on an opinion used for an article the way that was.
It's fair.
You might have saw where former Secretary of State Richardson remember, had asked for a protection unit at one time, and then we gave him an answer, and then he actually came back in the media because he was asked that question, saying, I've decided not to do this.
Right.
Any longer. So the important thing that I want to bring up is, you know, people ask us a question, and I will tell you, just as our policy here, if somebody asks us a question, we're going to answer it. So I rarely ever talk to somebody and say, do you really want me to answer that because, you know, this may look a certain way to the public. We have discussions about the factual issues that they ask us about, but the political side of it we try to stay out of as much as possible, but like I said, we're here to answer questions that people ask us, and I think that's important. And you'll also see the times that they ask us the questions and the time they get the response back is pretty quick. So,
Commissioner Fiskin,
I would just add two quick comments. One, I would applaud the staff for answering questions and intending to answer questions when asked. I can point in my couple of years of service here in a number of occasions when folks who came before us should have asked a question that might have averted an attempt to be sitting in the chair down there at the end. I think the other side of that coin maybe is the other side. Another reality is that once a letter of the sort to Secretary Clarno and others on this list is created, it's a matter of public record, which you live or die with that. If somebody wrote a story based on the letter, it might have been a different story than what appeared in the Statesman Journal or Oregon Live. But the public record exists. So.
Yeah. And can I also follow up on that? I mean, because the Senator Steiner Hayward, you know, piece where she's specifically asking about, you know, ability to profit and stuff. I guess that just, I understand. First of all, compliments to the staff as well. I was asking the question because I can see where putting out an opinion, I just hadn't seen that before where an opinion was used in that way for the articles. And I think you guys do impressive detailed work on explaining to officials where the boundaries are, and it's a great education, I think, for the general public on really where the boundaries are.
Okay. Anything else? I'd like to just sort of echo what our executive director has said. As I think all of you know, I run a nonprofit that trains grassroots activists on how to do politics, and I've been getting a lot more questions about the Ethics Commission, too, and I've referred people to this organization. The Washington County Republican Party came to me and said they would like to be trained. I've been able to use a sheet that's been reviewed by staff here in providing some preliminary work, but just also referring them to this body. So I see an uptick as well, and I think that speaks well of our mission. Anything else? Okay, so that takes us to miscellaneous items.
Number 66.
Yep. Former Transportation Services Representative for Oregon Driver and Motor Vehicle Services, Oregon Department of Transportation, request for suspension of investigation pending resolution of criminal matter.
We discussed Valerie Applegate in this regards that case. She's currently represented by counsel. She is in the middle of her criminal trial. She has a court date coming up on October 24th. Clearly, the criminal matter has not been resolved, and that's why we're requesting a suspension of the investigation.
Okay, questions? We'll entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt the staff request to suspend the investigation pending resolution of the criminal matter.
Okay, so moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fifton?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, number 67, request to establish legal expense trust fund for Ernie E. Bartziger, Jr. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Staff report,
This is a legal expense trust fund request, and the commission has to approve the opening of this legal expense trust fund. And it was sent in by John DiLorenzo, attorney for Senator Bartziger. Amy, our DOJ attorney, has looked at this, which is part of the process of approving a legal expense trust fund. And it's in your meeting. He's going to give the original copies. Just came in the mail this morning. I think they're out on David's desk right now. So this is kind of hard to read, but this is what we've got to work with in the book.
Okay, are there questions? Commissioner Fiskin.
I was just thinking, is there a recommendation to open this?
Our recommendation is that it has met the requirements. We normally will not bring it to you. We will work with the folks to get all the requirements met before we ever bring it to you, so that procedurally you don't have to vote it down. So they have met all the requirements as asked for in the statutes, but it does take a vote of the commission to actually open a legal expense trust fund.
Okay, Commissioner Fiskin.
Mr. Chair, my question may be answered by what I read in under the sub A on recitals on 225. This trust fund will be created related to expenses in connection with Oregon Ethics Commission case. Which case is that?
Commissioner Fiskin, you might remember a meeting prior. There was a case before us
That case as opposed to some other aspect of...
Yes, it's the expenses incurred for that case.
On that, and just to put a point on it, not related to expenses that might or might not have been incurred related to the, pardon the phrase, Senate walkout.
No, no. The Senate walkout would not qualify for a legal expense trust fund.
Thank you.
But the action, when the complaint was filed against the senators, an action with the commission does qualify, and the senator has asked for a legal expense trust fund to, I'm sure, solicit donations to pay his legal expenses.
Thank you.
Commissioner.
Thank you. So, Ron, I'm looking at... It's under 244-205. I haven't been done one, I don't think. And Amy, this is a question for you as well. It says that the legal expenses must be incurred in connection with, and I don't see our chapter cited, unless I'm just mistaken.
So this one is under, it's 2E, defending the public official in a proceeding or investigation brought or maintained by a public body as defined in ORS 174-109.
And that's what we brought it under?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's any public...
We're a public official under 174-109, but it was a proceeding or investigation brought by the Ethics Commission.
What was 174?
That's definition of a public body.
Oh, defending a public official in a proceeding brought or maintained by public. I see.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, were there other questions? Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
I also want to confirm, I think with this, we don't have discretion. If it meets the requirements, the statute requires that we grant the approval.
Okay.
In this case, and that's my reading of, of subsection 5. Mm-hmm.
I think you'd have to explain why you're not.
Yes, if they meet the statutory prerequisites, we look at them and you then bring it for your approval. And then the commission also will approve expenditures.
And in this case, there was no irregularities, no reason not to approve it?
We revised many times, but we are here with an approval.
Then I would move.
Seeking approval.
I would move that the commission approve the establishment of a legal expense trust fund.
Okay. Commissioner O'Day so moves. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, next item, 68.
Well, my suggestion, Chair, is that lunch should be coming here in a little bit, but maybe we could talk about the other items because number 68 is another movie for you to watch, and maybe you could watch that movie while you're enjoying your lunch.
That's a good idea. How long is it? Can I may ask?
3 hours.
No, it's not. Virginia, do you know how long this one is?
It's half hour.
Yeah, I hear this one is moderated by Edward Snowden.
And yeah, I was just so we can go ahead and finish out this and then come back to that, and lunch should be here by then. And
okay. Item 69, then. Discussion, RE, Executive Director Eval Process.
I'm going to let you discuss it.
I'll address that. we routinely schedule, at the last meeting of each year, the Executive Director's Performance Review. And the last meeting will be the next one in November. So, at this point, I'll be sending out some... It may be a little bit different this year because we're in the new Workday personnel system. So and we'll be sending out some information to you. Ron will complete his self-evaluation. I'll send that out to all of you, and you will complete your own individual evaluations based on his self one and return it all to me, and I'll compile it, and it will come back before you at the next meeting where we will do the actual performance review.
Can I just be clear? Your evaluations will be based on your own thoughts on my performance, not my thoughts on my performance. Yeah. So, yes, you can disagree with my thoughts on my performance. Yeah. Got free rein.
He's so diplomatic.
But there may be new questions if you've done it in the past. There may be new questions because Workday now with our employee evaluations, they have a set of questions, and I think DAS would like us to follow that, but right now we're having a difficult time finding a way into the executive evaluation right now. So, mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's all done online.
Commissioner Fiskum, you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Virginia, just as a refresh my memory question, in the past, have these evaluations been also distributed to others beyond the commission?
Yes.
The word in my head is stakeholders, but I could have the
that
word.
That is true.
That would be a bad word.
Staff has the opportunity to comment, and we post it on our website.
That's right. That's
and
right.
We send it out to a list of interested parties.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
So a clarification, so that you and staff
yeah.
Put input, Amy as well?
Yeah. If she chooses.
Okay.
But that would be confidential, attorney-client
privilege. Well, I was just curious. I feel like you two were close, quite closer than any of the other staff, on these cases, so input might be interesting.
I don't think we've done that in the
past. I don't believe we have. It's hard for an attorney to come in on the client.
Yeah. conflict there.
That's fantastic.
You should email it. No problem. Tell me when I'm wrong. You should say that. Put that on the public record.
Commissioner Starr, I saw your hand up. Did you have something? No? Okay, very good. Anything else? Okay, so look for your evaluation process in the
email. Yes, so check your email, your OGC email for that, because Virginia will be corresponding with you there. If you have any problems getting into that email because you haven't been in there for a little while, get a hold of Virginia and we'll get you back in there. So it's just as security issues with the state of Oregon and computer systems come up, the time periods get shorter and shorter if there's no activity that they kind of kick you out of the system. So it's really easy for an employee who comes in every day to sign on to not do that, but for you folks as volunteer commission members, not doing that every day, if you lose that. So don't worry about losing it. Like I say, they keep shortening those time periods up just to try to make the state's computer systems more secure. But we'll get you back in there. But that's how we will be corresponding with you, so that all that stays. Again, it's all a record out there on my review. So,
thanks. Very good. I'll have to do that. I get kicked off so many things that I barely notice. Anyway, that is coming up, so keep an eye out. Our next item is discussion, RE election of officers for 2020. I guess in November we're going to be voting for new officers in 2020.
Yes. The commission, again, the last meeting of the year, elects its officers. This year is just a little bit earlier because it's in November, because the next one actually hits just the beginning of January. So you will be voting on a chair and vice chair at the next meeting for the 2020 year.
Okay. Anything else need to be said about that?
And I give that update in the director's report. That's fine.
Okay. All right, very good. Next item, trainer's report.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Tammy Hedrick, providing the training report today. As you see before you, we have several trainings scheduled, but since this calendar went out, we have had a plethora of requests to provide training. We will be providing training to the City of Oak Ridge. We have a new city administrator in that jurisdiction, and he called with a general inquiry in which I strongly encourage training for his bodies of elected and appointed officials as well as staff. And he was really surprised to find out that our agency doesn't charge any additional fee. I mean, he's aware of the assessment, but with that being said, was very complimentary to the idea of having someone come down and talk to them directly, as there appears to be some problems administratively that he wants to ensure that after this training he's able to possibly implement some policies, and hopefully the council itself will implement some practices to do a little better, to be compliant with our laws. We also got a call from the Oregon State Bar, which we haven't heard from them in a really long time. Their general counsel called, and they are going to ask to have us come up and do training on ethics laws, which is fantastic. We have.
I told her to call you.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We and training staff do appreciate all referrals. With that being said, thank you, Commissioner. So with that being said, we also have the Medford Water Commission called. Now, we've done training for them before, and they are in Jackson County, so that requires travel. When we do travel, we do our best to organize other jurisdictions in on those opportunities. And in the discussion with this new human resource manager, she indicated that she's part of a professional organization. Within that professional organization are many human resource managers that do work for government. And she was surprised at the level of kind of the liability to each individual employee that they ultimately might answer questions to. So in addition to providing training for that specific jurisdiction, we're extending it to the Rogue Valley Society for Human Resource Management. And within that are multiple human resource managers within government bodies. So we're looking forward to providing that training to them. I was going to thank Commissioner Edwards for her popping into the Portland Clean Energy Fund Grant Committee training that my esteemed colleague Monica Walker did recently. They, in fact, are another kind of unique entity that's asked for training. They get training from Portland's attorneys. So it's not that they don't know these laws exist. They just wanted to ensure that there was a more dialed-in approach to the application to those grant committee members, so they really understand the idea behind conflicts of interest and how that can affect them. So Monica did that training. And with that being said, I also have an additional esteemed colleague who facilitated a training at the League of Oregon Cities Conference, and that's Susan Myers. So I'd like Susan, if she doesn't mind, to speak on how it went.
It went fine. It was at the LOC-OCAA conference in Sun River. And I was part of a panel. We primarily focused on conflicts of interest and how best to disclose. But at the end, we did discuss an old staff opinion, the Stokes opinion. So we discussed representation and when public officials appear before us, can they use the city or the official's attorneys to represent them? And so we discussed how a public official or a public body can vote for their own, how they should not vote for their own compensation, but can vote for a future compensation or a future policy that would apply to their successors.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
So I just want to give some staff some feedback. So I was at the LOC conference, which was in Bend. City Attorney's Conference was in Sun River, and I was unable to make it for your presentation because I was sitting in on another one that was done by a former chair of this body, Kenny Montoya, was giving a separate ethics presentation at the League Conference, so I sat in on that. But I did hear from some of my city attorney colleagues that had wonderful things to say about the session, so thank you for being there. They really appreciated it. I think they want to continue this discussion about the representation issue, and I suspect we'll, as commissioners, we'll probably hear more about that. When I was at the League conference, however, I just wanted to share with my fellow commissioners and the staff that at the conclusion of Mr. Montoya's presentation, there were several elected officials in the room who had appeared before us over the course of the last couple of years, and everyone to a T said, I just want to say we really appreciate how professional the staff was and how well they were treated by this body. I think it was a real testament to the work that we do and the staff does, and so I wanted to share that feedback with you. At least three, maybe even a couple more than that. And all of them, some of whom were found to be in violation, had very positive things to say about the experience with respect to how they were treated. So thanks for letting me share that.
Very good. Anything else?
that is it.
We learned today, FYI, that Portland Police Bureau might need some training.
Without arguing with my friend Commissioner Mason, it might be that unions representing Portland Police Department officers need training. Because the quick context was that the gentleman who appeared before us said that his union representatives as a Portland police officer for many years did not know a thing about the Ethics Commission.
Excuse me, Mom, was that in...
We haven't said a name, but I just careful on the confidential.
Yeah, I didn't use a name. I appreciate that. Thank you for stopping me. But anyway, there are opportunities there, I think,
absolutely,
pursuant to our earlier agenda. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. We'll go to Executive Director report.
Okay. So well, we've closed out the last biennial budget. So in the new biennial budget, what we're doing is we're completing the legislative approved budget. We should have those books out here in the next probably week or so. We'll make sure the commissioners get a copy of that budget. We are working with DAS CFO on creating the financial plan for the year, and then so those projections that I end up giving you go against that financial plan. I did include the published assessment plan in this book, so if anybody ever asks you, like, how much they're paying for our services, you'll see, like I said, I know the eight different groups. I know the bottom group is jurisdictions that expend under $50,000. The top group is jurisdictions that expend over $50 million. So, to give you an example, the city of Portland, in this next biennium, will pay about $1,750 for our services. So we're, by spreading out our cost, it's a wide range, it's about 1,700 jurisdictions. The cost any one jurisdiction is very low. We also have a per diem rate that we charge for the state employees. So anyway, so if anybody, I think it's important for you guys to have this on what we're actually assessing out there. So if somebody asks you a question or makes a comment on what does the commission cost, well, it costs, you know, your city or your jurisdiction this amount of money. So, and if anybody actually has a question about a particular one, give us a call because we can't get those numbers for the actual particular ones. But this is the assessment plan for the 2019-21 budget. And those invoices are going out now. So, any questions about the new budget? I will say that in this February session, I've been assured by Legislative Fiscal Office that if you look at what was approved, legislatively approved budget for us for Department of Justice was quite a bit smaller than what the actual assessment is going to be. And so there is going to be a realignment. They could have done it during the regular session with us, but they felt that it was actually a bigger issue, and they wanted to bring it up in the February sessions. But essentially, we will be using some of our ending balance to make it up, and they'll give us more limitation. And what the limitation is even though I have whatever money we have, we can only spend up to the limitation that the legislature gives you. And so they should be raising that limitation up here in February. There's been some concern about working with the Department of Justice on the flat rate, where the problem is like, so we ask for our budget. Well, we're going to start working on a budget here in probably March, April of next year. We put our agency request by August 1st. As you know, the governor comes out by December 1st, and then DOJ would come out in January or February, so on what they actually need. And so they're going to, supposedly there's going to be some work on trying to, on the flat rate, look back instead of looking just the current year. So they were trying to get all the data through through December and then use that data to try to say how much will the next biennium cost. They're going to have to look back a little bit because we need to have those numbers before we actually even create our agency request budget. So that's why you have the difference. We basically all DAS affords you with the Department of Justice over years has been, they've never looked at like the number of hours that you use or anything. They just look at what is the rate going up, and that's the amount of limitation they give you additional. So if the attorneys cost $150 this year and $160 the next year, they give you that $10 per attorney hour that you've used. So this way, I think it'll be a lot better, but we will fix that problem. So when we get the plan out, you're going to see that right now we are currently budgeted quite a bit less than what we're going to spend with the Department of Justice. But that will be fixed in the February session. So, and we do have the ending balance to do that, so we don't need any additional assessment to make that happen. We don't need any general fund, God forbid, to make that happen. So, and it's money that we've saved over previous biennials. So I keep talking about this work. You saw some of the work with the Statement of Economic Non-Filers. There are some more to come. I think it's a smaller bunch. I've been told it's about 20, but don't hold me exactly to that amount. But we should get this cleaned up here pretty darn quick for you. So I want to talk just a little bit about the audit. Some of you may have been contacted by the auditors and had discussions with the auditors. I know Commissioner Fiskum talked about you have one coming up Monday. They are coming back. So all I know is right now they are kind of establishing the framework of what we do, and that what the audit is supposed to be looking for is the hurdles that are in our way to get from point A to point B. And those can be either legislative hurdles or you know, procedural hurdles or whatever. It could be our own self in the way. Maybe we get out of our own way. But it's kind of nice to have an outside set of eyes kind of look in to see. I mean, again, I really enjoy the comments that you folks make with my staff here because, you know, like you say, you see people that are in stressful situations and they're still, you know, thanking the staff for doing this work. So I think the actual work of the commission is doing well, but what can make us better? And so please use the time with the auditors, use your time with them, talk about issues that you have and answer their questions, because the more knowledge that they know, I think the better the audit's going to be. And, you know, and I don't want anybody to be under some kind of delusion that there won't be, like at the end of it, they'll just say, oh, the commission's just great and nothing's going to, you know, nothing, they're just great and there's no fixes out there. There will be suggestions on fixes. And so, I mean, we as staff know there's a few that we want to get through. One of them may be, well, I know one of them is administrative rules. I know that the commissioners brought that up too. So,
do you expect a full report, you know, within a certain time frame? Or?
Well, they hinted at the time that they were here that it could take up to a year's time. So, all I'm saying is the process continues on. I was asked by a commissioner to give you an update on this. It was already on my director's report, and it will stay on there until this is concluded. But what I know now is they are still contacting stakeholders, you folks, employees, and they're re-meeting with me on next Thursday at 9 o'clock here at the offices. So in their conversations with other commissioners and stakeholders and employees, they have some additional questions for me out of those conversations. So I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of that back and forth because, like I said, the last thing we need is somebody to come up with suggestions on how to improve our processes if they don't really understand what we're doing. So it's great they're spending the time to understand that. So, I think all the staff has been interviewed as of now, but that, like I say, there may be another one that comes about. So, this is the time of year for fiscal end reports. So, the office in Virginia, myself, have been extremely busy in producing the year-end reports. We thought we had the LFO receivable report done, but we seem to be having a discrepancy with LFO on when something is actually due. And so I will just tell you that the case that I'm making is that in the SEIs and in the lobby and the entity reports, you know the system creates penalties. And you folks see those penalties many times, and you mitigate those penalties. And so what I'm trying to convey to them is, in my view, there is no monies due until five of you folks vote that those monies are due. So just because somebody puts out a $1,000 penalty does not mean the state of Oregon is owed $1,000 until you folks say it's $1,000. And once you do make that decision, like decisions you made today, most of them, I think there was one monetary penalty that was today.
$50.
Yeah. You know, now that $50 is a what do they call it? Liquidated?
Liquidated
receivable. So we're having those discussions, and I think they're just kind of having a hard time understanding, like, you know, because if you get a 5% late penalty for filing your taxes, it's a 5% late penalty sitting there. But anyway, my message to them is let the process happen. The commission will make the decision on what is due for that late filing. And as you know, in many cases, that decision is a letter of education, which creates no, liquefied receivable out there. It's not liquefied.
Liquefied receivable?
Liquidated.
Liquefied works too.
I just want to say that it's deer season right now, and I'm at work. So, no. And my wife hasn't been home for over a week, and so I am not qualified to be out on my own. But we're getting the reports are in timely. They had some questions, so there's going to be some tweaking in that report. But I do want to make sure that you folks know that the responsibilities we have in reporting the fiscal annual reports we have completed this year. So on the other things, we've already talked about Lisa starting with us again. I just want to convey to you folks that, you know, this agency is very lucky. I was at an agency head meeting the other day, and the complaints from the agency heads on trying to hire in this environment. The public sector is pulling a lot of our folks away and trying to get qualified, not just qualified, but, you know, exceptional employees into state government. You know, the atmosphere is not like when I started back in the 80s. There's a different atmosphere out there, and the difficulties that agencies are having. And we have been, lack of a better phrase, blessed here. I guess that's on separation of church and state. But anyway, to sort of attract folks that want to work here and are highly qualified. And we're very excited to have Lisa here. She drives all the way up from Eugene. She's a Met fan, so we let her get away with that. I didn't give her a hard time. So she just became, like, just dropped her last child off at UCLA. Yeah, so, but anyway, it's these types of employees that are going to continue to get this agency the accolades that it deserves, and you folks should continue to hear it. And it's funny, we don't go in with some preconceived idea, but it seems like the skill sets that are out there, we're attracting the correct skill sets in here. So we're really excited about having Lisa on. We're continuing to learn Workday. It's a bit of a challenge. What's kind of funny is, you know, us small agencies, we never have a personnel department. We don't have an HR department here. You know, DAS is our HR department. And so we'd say, hey, we need to hire somebody. They say, okay, no problem. Like, here, we'll put the ad out for you. We'll do this. We'll do that. But now, under Workday, it's our responsibility to do that. So it's our responsibility to kind of get them through the whole process. And it's just a lot more work. And what's funny about Workday is it's a very secure system, and so it doesn't let you be in there very long before it kicks you out. And when you sign in each time, you don't have to sign in, but you have to put down like your your security questions. You have to do those every time too. So it's a bit of a hassle. I'm sure it'll become the norm and we'll be good with it, but we do continue to do that. I get a little late. It used to be people, they say they want time off, they put a little green slip on my desk, and I said yes or no. I don't think I ever said no. I actually said no a fun time sometimes. It's like, no, you can't do it. But now I actually have to go into work day to approve it. And so sometimes the employees will come in my office and say, you know, if you haven't approved my time off, it's like, oh, I haven't looked in there, sorry. So we're getting there. The last thing I want to talk about is Amy and I are going to present at the Public Law Conference, and so we're going to meet today. She's going to tell me how that presentation is going to go. But the Public Law Conference happens every couple of years. It'll be down here at the Convention Center, and it's a pretty big deal. And so we're Ethics has been invited back to talk on that. Attorneys that are going to it can get CLE for it. So we're excited about it. That's going to be on the 23rd of October. So adding to the trainer's report, we will be training all the folks that, and we're actually at a good time because we're in the morning on the 23rd, isn't it? Yes, on the 23rd.
Right.
So, you know, I think the first time we did it, we got like the late afternoon right before everybody wanted to leave. And so it was like you had to throw things at them to keep them awake. But now we have them. I think the last time was like close to lunch, so everybody's kind of trying to scoot out of the room. But now we have them right off the bat in the morning. So we have a prime spot. So, and the last thing I want to talk about is I've already guessed, September Legislative Day has been by. We didn't get a new commissioner. The governor's office apologized for that. And so did the speaker's office apologize for that. But they do have a couple people in mind. I believe the next legislative days, I think they're in November, if I remember right. We should have some names before us. I also spoke on new Commissioner Keene. That yours comes up in February, and to get the Senate Democrats on the ball. So they should be able to hopefully replace you during that legislative time. But
there is no replacing.
If not, then, you know, I'll come hat in hand and ask if you can hang around till May, until the next legislative days. But we are working on that replacement, and you, of course, are welcome to do that, too. So that's all I have, sir.
Tell them delay.
That's right. No.
Anything else for staff? Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
I'm going to defer to my fellow commissioner.
Dean colleague.
Yes, his plaque was up
first. His plaque was up first, my
quick question for you, Wilson, or anybody on the lobbyist side. I think I'm remembering the new requirement for lobbyists to assess the fact that they participated in some form of sexual harassment or harassment training. What's the time frame, if I'm remembering the new, quote, requirement, right, for that to be implemented?
Well, that is another huge project that we have, because that actually has to be on the forms that are out there. And so we are working with our vendor on that to be able to add it. And I think there was a time frame given on just programming time, but I think it's close to a year anyway.
The reporting requirement for individuals was January 2021.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's some time for the implementation of the requirement.
But we are working with the vendor. Like I say, they'll be added to it. Well, they'll have to attest to taking that training.
That's the approach, as I understand it, is for the lobbyists.
There was unfunded mandates out
right,
there.
I understand.
Yeah.
It should be, not simply, but to attest to the fact they participated in such a thing.
Yeah.
To it on the filings with the Ethics Commission?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say, I think that on your registration now, you're going to have to say that you're going to do it.
Yes.
And then on your filings, you have to say that you did.
That you did.
2 hours of training.
And that requirement does not apply to the clients, if I'm right in asking that question. I assume it does not, but I don't.
It was the lobbyist.
Lobbyist, so
yeah.
Thank you.
But like I said, we put a fiscal in. I think there will be some limitation given to us, but the assessments wouldn't be raised. That's the other thing about assessments is you have to remember when we create our agency request budget, that's when we ask to put out the price list on how much we're going to cost.
Right.
And so if they have to come out later and say we cost more, it's it kept it out of ways and means not having to do that. So we'll probably get limitation for the increased cost because we'll have an increased subscription fees with our vendor because, again, it's a service for
right.
pay-for-service
thank you.
Contract. But, yes, we are working on that.
Anything else? Commissioner O'Day.
One of the things I think, speaking of big projects, one of the things we need to do periodically is update the guide to public officials. Can you talk a little bit about what that cycle is, where we are, and how we undertake that work? My impression is that's coming up soon.
It's actually late. It's late. I mean, it needs to be updated. And we are working on that currently. In fact, I think that's one of the projects police is working on right now. And so what that ends up being is it basically ends up being an opinion of the commission. So once we have it updated and completed, we will bring that to the commission to a meeting. And it'll look like an opinion. I mean, you'll get the whole thing, but you'll vote on it like an opinion.
And it's an administrative. It has the effect of an administrative rule, right?
Mm-hmm. It has the I think it has the effect of an opinion.
I think it's an OAR.
We can make it part of our OAR.
Yeah.
So you could adopt it as a rule.
Or we can adopt it as a commission advisory opinion. And that's how we've done it.
We've adopted as advisory opinion, I think, in the past, and that gives the people the protections, but I guess you can't do that as administrative rule. And there are administrative rules that we are looking at and that we will bring to. The matrix is one of them. That's the big one. But there's also quite a few others. You might have saw recently where, we're finding some. Well, I just found one the other day that listed on the folks that can sanction their own travel, and it still lists the Supervisor of Public Instruction, which we know hasn't been here for a little while.
And on the guide for public officials, are we going to just do an addendum, are you thinking, or are we going to redo the whole
thing? No,
the numbering and everything's off right now.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in the process. Like I said, it's just one of those things that, I don't know, if unless you put it in the front burner.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big process. We are behind on that.
And we're going to get an intern from Willamette University.
Yes.
That can help us with
very good.
College of Law or Public Administration?
No, it's a new department called, do you remember what it's like? Politics, Ethics, and Law.
Okay.
It's undergraduate.
It would be an undergrad. We've been working with them, and we put out a... Oh, when they go to choose, there's a couple of paragraphs to kind of describe who we are and the work that we're asking them to do. And so we've worked with the professor, and I think that's going to be in January that they're going to do that. So we're looking forward to that. They get great experience, and we get free labor. So
that works.
And mind, we also get the brain trust gets added to here. So anyway.
I just wanted to respond. The statute on the adopting the manual just says that a majority of the commissioners have to adopt it. Doesn't
okay.
I mean, you could do it however you like, but you've done it as an opinion in the past.
We have.
Okay.
And like I say, that gives the people the protections that an opinion would give if they act within the public official guide.
And the statute does say that if they take a good faith action and reliance on the manual or any update, no civil penalty. That's the protection I can.
So,
yes. Commissioner O'Day and Commissioner Starr, go ahead.
So, with respect to the manual, because we've adopted it as an opinion, I'm assuming, unlike an administrative rule, because I appreciate the question, there isn't an opportunity for public comment, or do we ever invite those who are subject to our body of law to provide input or addendums or amendments to that manual clarification?
The stakeholders have been included in the past in that update. I know, and especially some of the examples that we put out, especially around the gift examples that were out there, I know the stakeholders are brought in. And we, of course, make the stakeholders also aware that it will be voted on by the commission, and so they do They in the past they have attended the meetings and given their comments on
I remember sitting around this table actually in like 2009 and participating, even like being allowed to offer red line comments.
So it's we try to make it so everybody is able to participate in that So.
Do you have a committee or something? I feel like I was on some sort of committee.
Part of that also was where what was that committee where we were trying to also figure out the media thing.
Yeah, right.
So that was kind of getting incorporated because there was going to be examples about that into the official guide too. And so we created a committee and we brought in the folks from the cities and counties and stuff. And then we also brought in the media folks too to say, you know, what is media? And basically we found out that nobody really knows. So I think the legislature that next year, they kind of just punted on media and said, we won't define it, so you guys can't define it. So,
yeah. Commissioner Starr.
I'm flying to Mexico on the 18th of November.
Can we go?
And
I love Mexico.
I don't think we've been able to extend that. My son, who is 23 years pastor in Mexico, has invited us for Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure that I'll be able to communicate on that meeting date, so I will pursue the idea of might be able to participate by phone.
If you can, we'll make that happen. But if you would, as far as my review, if you would participate in that, and when Virginia gives you the thing, go ahead and fill that out so that your comments are included in that process. So.
We'll take care of that. Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Looking forward to meeting great granddaughters I've never seen.
Wow.
Good for you.
Awesome.
We're out in Mexico, sir.
Puerto Vallarta.
Nice.
Yeah. Very good. Very cool. Okay, is that all?
That's all I had, sir. Yes. Is the Lynch is here?
Lynch is here.